This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 283 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line from from Melbourne via Skype. God, it's been a while.
It's a Glyn Lavender. By popular demand for 2015. Hammer up, Bruce, for God's sake. Get me bloody wickets. Welcome to the
Clearly, podcast. I'm a little rusty, mate. We obviously were gone for too long.
This week I saw train engine number 547. Now, the interesting thing about the 547, it's got a 116 engine track.
What are you talking about?
You bloody start the podcast. It's a new year. Come on.
Yeah.
Live it up. Back by popular demand. Shut us podcast. Some great entrance we should have had. Huge. You're the audio guy, for goodness sake. When have you ever start a dynamic new you hype up the year with? Hello and welcome to Shutters Inc. podcast. With me from Melbourne is. Do you realise we had almost 15% of our listeners Facebook post, where are we? Where are we? When are you coming back, guys? When are you coming back? Nearly 15%, Bruce. If that's not popular demand, I don't know what is.
And next week there'll be 16% going, why did they come back?
You know, one of our seven listeners actually asked where we were. I was floored.
How was your Christmas?
At the beginning, it was the audience is listening, that kind of thing. You know, big.
Right.
You can put this in the beginning. You're an audio guy. You can tack something on the beginning, I'm sure.
Right.
Big, like, surround sound sort of noise, you know? And then back by popular demand. Podcast 2015.
Okay. How was your Christmas?
No. That was last year. Give it a break. You're right. So last year, Bruce.
How's your new year been?
Doesn't that not seem an eternity ago, Christmas?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's so far back in time. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Christmas was good. Yeah, just no, it wasn't. I've got to tell you, it was a bit of an ordinary one.
Oh, okay.
It was okay, but it was like, you know, the kids, Christmas presents, kids, that was great, but the rest was like, yeah, get whatever.
Yeah.
Finish up. Do I really have to see my family? Sure, they're getting old.
I think you and I are becoming grumpy old men because I'm much the same.
What's this becoming business, Bruce? Yeah. Yeah, I'm just lucky that my age is finally starting to catch up with my personality.
dear.
See, so I had my 50th birthday. I can't remember.
Oh, you did.
I had my big 5-0.
That's right.
And I'm now, you know, officially allowed to be grumpy, I think. I think it's part of the union you join.
That was so long ago, you're now 50 and a half.
Oh, exactly. My daughter keeps saying, yeah, Daddy, you're 51 this year. Thanks, kid.
Nice one, kiddo.
Thank you so much. But you asked about New Year, and I have a tradition on New Year.
Yeah.
That every New Year's Eve, I know a lot of people do this sort of stuff, but every New Year's Eve, I like to have a New Year's revolution.
Revolution.
Yeah, I like to turn around once, the full 360 degrees, right. And I figured, yeah, that's something I'm going to live up to. I'll be able to commit to that and do it every year.
Right.
So that whole resolution stuff, it just puts you in a bad place. You start the year off in a bad way because you're bound to fail.
Yeah.
So New Year's revolution.
Yep.
Just do a nice 360, get back to bed.
Really excellent.
So that's good.
And is that before midnight or after midnight?
No, just near 12:01. Yeah, well, 12 and yeah, you got to give this as a kiss. That's got to be obligatory. Yeah, hello, love. Yeah, happy new year. Yeah, same to you. And then do the revolution. And that's pretty much turning away from her and walking back inside. You know,
right.
Put a positive spin on it, as they say. Get it? Revolution,
yep.
Spin.
Yep.
You know. you've missed me, people, haven't you? I can tell. all the laughing. See, I can cyber hear the laughter when we say this stuff, and was it just the strange noises rattling in my head? But either way, I'll take it as positive.
Excellent.
But in all seriousness, now I had an unfortunate start to the year with a friend of mine dying
and
died in a plane crash, and Yeah, but he was a photographer and he was doing what he loved. He was photographing the Sydney to Hobart yacht race.
Oh, wow.
And they were flying at mast height doing aerial shots.
Whoa.
And
In a fixed-wing aircraft or a helicopter?
Yeah, in a fixed-wing. And obviously, if that goes wrong at that height or something goes wrong...
Yeah, there's not a lot of wiggle room.
Yeah, and... So my mate Tim Jones from Hobart went down with a plane, unfortunately, and it's very sad.
Sad.
He went doing something he loved, you know, and it's not a bad way to go. You know what I mean?
A good thing, yeah.
You know, do you want that? Yeah. He was 61, so he wasn't old, but he wasn't young. He was like he was 15 or 25 or whatever. But do you want to go that way doing something you love, or go down slowly, horribly,
in a hospital bed with your loved one standing around you or something?
Yeah, it's a horrible way to go, Parkinson's. Yeah. It's a long, long journey and long descent, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And I've been watching it for a fair few years now, and it gets a bit distressing to watch.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, given the choice, I'd rather die like my grandfather did.
Right.
In his sleep. Yeah, rather than screaming like the passengers in the back seat.
Boom, boom. Yeah.
But Tim was a great guy. We did a lot of stuff together with PMA, and he ran a store called Perfect Prints down in Hobart, which is an awesome store. And he had a fire middle of last year in his store, so he had a bit of a horrible year as well. His store had a big fire in it. And
probably the only thing keeping him warm in Hobart.
but here's the thing. You know, you're always sort of brought back to reality in life.
Yeah.
You know? I got the news about Tim, and I was pretty upset, and I was just sort of sitting, I don't know, a few hours later, just sitting around, just, trying to take it in, because they still hadn't found him. He was still underwater, what they thought, sort of thing. So it was all a bit bad that way.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine posted on Facebook that friends of theirs had just lost their 13-month-old baby.
Oh,
yeah,
what?
And they'd known for a long time that this was going to happen, so they'd gone through this long period of... Yeah, and that's just, Tim, 61, going out doing something he loved through versus this incredible devastation.
A 13-month old.
Yeah, and it's just, mostly a mean dad, you know what it's like, but it's like, wow, you can't grieve too deeply for a friend. Yeah, yes, be unhappy, but you got to say, well, relative to a lot of things in this world.
Yeah, he had a good run.
It's not such a bad thing,
I'm
not saying I'm in any hurry to go out, but if you had a choice, it's not a but here's the other sad thing about Tim was he had a choice that day to go the fixed wing or the helicopter,
right.
And he got his co-shoot. He said to his co-shoot, no, you do the helicopter, this, or I'll do the fixed wing. That decision. But the guy who he sent to the helicopter was much younger. He's got a family, and isn't amazing that by chance. So my mate Tim Jones, we raised a drink, and he loved a red, and raised a drink and wished him farewell. So
that's really sad. And what exactly happened to the plane? What went wrong?
I still don't know.
Yeah, right.
So it was over.
Start
it was over.
To the year.
Flash.
Was it in the new year, or was that would have been prior to New Year?
Because
the race generally, the race starts
30
Boxing
or something
Day,
like
and it takes them about 3 or 4 days. So, it must have been late in the last year.
Yeah, I kind of lose track of time.
Yeah, wow. That's rough.
Yeah, it was. No, I definitely remember now, because we all come back together saying what a horrible way to finish the year. So, definitely. He was a much loved person in our industry in Australia. I did a lot of stuff with him at... for PMA, for Photo Marketing Association. He was, for a long time, for a while there, I was Southern Territorial Vice President or something. I can't remember what it was. Territorial Vice President for Southern Region of Australia. And he was the Tasmanian chairperson. So we had a bit to do with each other there as well. But my end and start to the year. I did have my big birthday sale on my birthday. My 50 Fat and Forgetful sale, I called it. You know, I love to name an event.
Yes.
50 Fat. Well, yeah, problem is I forgot to put it up. No. No, it went exceptionally well. Sold 45 places or something in the day, which is,
nice.
Which is not bad. Yeah, it's not a bad way to
get a bit. You should have pushed a bit harder to sell another five.
Well, a few, exact point, and put it. But a few people are saying, "Oh, I can't wait for you to turn 100, Glenn. We get 50% off for being 50."
You get in for free, but by then Glenn won't know what he's talking about.
And just the urn sitting up the front with a slideshow going on behind. I mean, the most education you can have that for free, people, for free.
The Glenn Lavender Memorial Workshop.
But here's the weird thing though. I have two birthdays a year, Bruce. I'm a bit like the Queen.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So in actual fact, February the 14th is my 100th birthday.
Oh, right.
No, I'm not doing 100% off. kind of a weird tradition in my family. Both me and my sister have.
Last thing we want to see is Glenn Lavender with 100% off.
Oh, yeah. Put it back on. It's a strange thing. My sister was born 4 days after Christmas. I was born 5 days before Christmas.
Right.
Different years, I might add. It wasn't like a super long labor. And the family wasn't very rich, and they wanted to give something to the kids to look forward to during the year. So we celebrate our birthdays on our christening days.
Ah.
Mine's on Valentine's Day. So it was okay for the first 14 to 15 years, but it started to get cramping the style big time. Oh, we want you to come out with us for dinner, honey.
Yeah, right.
No, Mum. But yeah, so I'm 100 on February 14th.
Excellent. Excellent.
Yeah, don't feel a day over 90 either, I tell you. So that was my Christmas and New Year. And not now, I did a few little iPhone shoots with the kids and right. Sort of a bit of, hardly picked up a camera. Not from lack of want.
Right.
I have to tell you a story. I told you last year about I've got this shoot in mind for my daughter, and I've got to climb this kind of hill, and it's kind of difficult to get to, and I've been thinking about it for ages, and finally picked it.
This is the rock pile with the dandelions on it.
That's the one. Yeah, and finally plucked up. The evening was looking good, so I got all the flash gear, the camera gear, the whole lot.
Yeah.
Got the daughter in the dress and put a coat on to keep her warm because it was pretty blowy and turned out to be quite cool. Got to the bottom of the hill. It's full of bloody sharp, pointy bloody weeds and stuff.
Right.
So she had to go on my shoulder. So I'm trying to carry this 7.5-year-old kid on my shoulder, an Elinchrom Quadra kit on and light stand, camera bag, with 20 kilos of camera gear.
Up a hill of loose rocks.
Up about a 70-degree slope of loose rocks. Got all the way up there. I'm almost dead. I'm nearly dead. Got her into position, took the jacket off, went to the camera, she's turned blue. She said, oh, God, we can't do this. Put the jacket back on, threw it back over the shoulder, walked down the damn hill again, back to the car and home.
Because it was just that cold.
It was blowing a gale, she was just frozen. You can't, if they're that cold, you can't do anything with them.
No.
Useless bloody models.
Worth every cent you pay for them.
Exactly. So kind of abandoned that one, unfortunately.
But, right.
And then one last thing for me. I had a workshop on January the 3rd. Now, January the 3rd in Melbourne was at least 40 degrees Celsius in the shade.
Right.
So it was a bit of a warmish day.
Yeah.
And one of my customers was 1 week off giving birth.
Prior or after?
Well, she was 1 week out from being due to give birth to a child, and she chose to come to a workshop. She chose to come to a workshop on a 40-degree day.
Oh, great.
I'm pleased to say I didn't have to deliver a baby, but for a while there, it was looking pretty. She was in serious trouble towards the end of the day.
Oh, no.
But, yeah, so that was a kind of a sad thing. And one last thing to me, because CES happened over our break. Yes, the big consumer electronics show, and that's where PMA, the Photo Marketing Association, has their big show, and to which I was this year to be inaugurated as the president of DIMA, the Digital Imaging Marketing Association, which is one of the wings of PMA. But we had a committee meeting, a month or so out, and decided, look, digital imaging, God, shit, everything's digital these days. Come on. So we decided we're going to refocus the committee into a committee rather than a board. Right. And we became the PMA Education Committee.
Right.
And great. So they asked me, because I couldn't be there for this particular event. They said, but I was going to be the inaugural, the first ever chairperson of this event. They said, can you film a video? So I filmed a funny-ass video, Bruce.
Right.
My Bruce was all killer, very little filler. Right. Some filler. But it was funny stuff. I was doing off camera pretend talking to people, you know, and stuff. It was hilarious stuff.
Right.
Got it up there, tweets from all around the world, and Facebook things from all around the world say how funny it was. It went down a treat. Then that night they announced that the entire organization is just about folded. They're outsourcing pretty much the entire running of the organization to a company that runs these sort of organizations, and it looks like the whole thing's fallen in a heap. So I'm proud to say I'm the first chairman of the Photo Marketing Education Committee.
But the last.
I may also be the last. And also the shortest serving.
Oh, dear.
But the thing is, I'd put in 7 years on this bloody committee to get to be president. Right? 7 years, Bruce.
In time for it to fall.
So my video was essentially, it was like, and I'm sort of addressing.
It was the death knell.
to go out on the big screen in front of the audience and say, look, I was doing the American Express. Do you know me? Not many people know my face. Right. Yeah, that thing is the entry. Yeah. But my name's Glenn Lavender, owner of Creative Photo Workshops in Melbourne, Australia. I'm sorry I can't be with you today, but it's my incredible honor to be announced as this year's DEMA president. And then I do this off camera. What? What? It's not DEMA anymore. What's it going to be? PMA Education Committee. Okay. So I go, hello, do you know me? Not many people know my face. And I'm Glenn Lavender from Creative Photo Workshops in Melbourne, Australia. And I'm delighted to be announced as the first ever president of the PMA Education Committee. What? It's not a president anymore. What? It's a chairperson. I put in 7 years as a this bloody committee to be a chairperson. Have you met the other board members? Have you seen what I've put up with? 7 year chairperson. And it goes on like that, you know. Right. And it was fabulous. And then gone. I couldn't even put the video up online and do the announcement because it was dead before it even started. I wasted two and a half minutes of my life doing that video. So one take.
Right.
Oh, so anyway. I'm no longer, I don't think. No, I keep emailing, but I don't think there's anyone in the building anymore. Right. Emails. Stay tuned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's enough about me talking about myself, Bruce. It's going to be 15 minutes of that. How about you? Excellent. So
what have I got to say about you?
Exactly. That's not for me talking about myself. How about you talking about myself? Can I point out one other thing?
Yeah.
I found a thing online.
A thing? About
a thing, a list. You know I love my lists. Oh. You love my lists.
I cannot believe this actually went on the internet and found, of all things, a list.
Oh, and a thing.
And a thing.
But the list was, right, what makes you sexy? What kind of creative attributes, make you sexy? And they've got the top 40, Bruce.
Top 40.
And you know what? Taking of artistic photographs comes in number 7.
Right.
We're number 7, Bruce.
Right.
Well, I'm not so sure about that. Your work, but how's that? We embrace our happy little Shutters Inc. podcast family. We're number 7 in the list of hotties doing creative stuff.
Excellent.
Performing in the band does come in number 6. There's obviously it'd be better, and then there's you're like the bass player, and that doesn't count. But making a clever remark, it's in number 4.
Yeah,
can you believe that? At number 4, so don't study, just go around and be a smartass.
That's it.
If you're looking for the women's, Dave Oakley, my good mate Dave Oakley, he paints photographs.
Right.
Number 14, the painting of pictures. I don't think they mean actually just painting rather than taking paintings of pictures he's taken, which is what he does. But, you know, interesting. Styling your hair in an interesting way came in at number 17.
Right.
So if you have nothing else going for you as a human being, but you come in number 17 because you can style your hair in an interesting way. God, I love a list. Writing plays comes in at 19, but performing the play is 20. So don't bother writing it. Just performing it. You're only one further down. It's still pretty close and a lot less work. Yeah.
You know what? I'm looking at this list and I'm thinking somebody's put this together so that every human being on the planet can point to at least one thing and go, I'm on the list.
unless this is one person wrote about himself. This is the stuff he does. And he's trying to make himself feel good. Yeah. But here's the thing that really got me. I've got to say, of the whole list, 35 and 40 got me.
35
is exterior decorating, and number 40 is interior decorating. Right. So you're percentagely far more sexy if you can do exterior decorating than interior.
Right.
Which, yeah, so basically, if you might be able to prune a plant, but if you it makes you sexy, then if you can fluff my pillows. I'd go the other way personally, Bruce. I'd put the fluffing the pillows a lot higher than that. What a strange thing. And this person's got a whole thesis on this. He's got like pages upon pages of data and things, which is quite astounding. So anyway, and dressing in a unique style gets you up as number 9. So if you can't do your hair, just put some weird clothing on.
Yeah.
Anyway. So what have you got? Anything? Now I've rabbited on. I've got a few more things, but yeah.
What else have you got?
Focus stacking on the iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Which, yeah, I'm not sure, because I know the iPhone's being such a small sensor, it's hard to get minimal depth of field anyway. But there's a new app called Stay Focused out.
Right.
Which is focus stacking for your iPhone, which I'm kind of curious to try, I've got to say.
Okay.
I'd love to see that sort of stuff actually being put into cameras. Yeah, real cameras.
Yeah.
Just if you've got a motor-driven focusing system, you should be able to pre-program the damn thing to change focus incrementally for you.
Yep.
Would be kind of cool. But that was it. And I saw this really cool usage of, and I'm saying this myself, but I found a cool description of Lytro use.
Okay.
Which is NFL shots.
A description of its use.
No. Some actually cool shots done on it.
Oh, okay, right.
Yeah, actually something decent from it.
Right.
A cool use where people who aren't the people playing with it could actually go online and get some enjoyment out of shifting the focus.
Right.
And it's all done at this NFL game.
Yeah.
And you can, like, focus in on the quarterback and then zoom out to, like, the wide receiver who the ball's going to go to.
Right.
So you can see, like, both perspectives. It's kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was, it's kind of a nifty use of
this kind of a 3D effect.
Exactly.
That's trippy. Wow.
So they're good. Wow. I haven't actually looked at the photos, Bruce. So they're good, are they?
Well, yeah, because if you...
I really should have.
No, yeah, you really should have. Go to the link now.
Go now.
Like, go to the second one of the examples, the one with there's two footballers sort of in the foreground and a bunch of crowd in the background.
Yeah.
And as you wiggle your mouse left to right, you can actually see...
Wiggle it just a little bit.
You can see background stuff coming in and out of view from behind the players. It's like a three-dimensional effect. That's trippy.
Well, I didn't know how to even work this thing, Chris.
Oh, well, you just mouse over the image.
Oh, there it goes. I don't have a mouse. I've just got this little keypad thing.
Oh, you and your bloody Macs.
which bit of the keypad do I press? Oh, I see. Look, that worked. Yeah, it worked.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh, that was cool. Yeah.
Awesome.
the next one down where it goes from like the quarterback.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of nifty. You know, they can go back to the guy in the back, like the coach, to see what he's thinking.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you can look at the crowd. It's kind of nifty.
It's the whole 3D thing that grabs me more than being able to shift the focus point.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So there, I found something useful. There we go.
Wow.
Never let it be said. Find something interesting. Whoa, that one's really freaky.
Which one?
Five. Okay, I'm trying to say. What? This is going to be great audio. One, two, three, four, five. Number 6.
Well, describe it.
What's really out of focus, Bruce?
Sorry?
It's really out of focus. Oh, you want to describe?
Is this the guy in the white T-shirt?
The guy in the white T-shirt. Like, you can zoom right in. Everything's completely out of whack. And you can zoom in just on him. You can zoom in on the background. Right. There's hands or legs.
Confetti falling in front of him.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
It's pretty trippy.
So, a bit of fun.
Wow.
Bit of a cool use.
Yeah. Good to see some
some real world images, not just you know, the promotional images released by the company.
Yeah, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, cool.
And then I noticed that this really struck home to show me how the industry is going as a whole. That Canon are returning production to Japan. They're closing down a lot of their Thai and Taiwanese.
Oh,
and
so Chinese the cheaper factors. Markets that they were using.
Yeah, well, it's because the yen's going down so much. It's like a 7-year low,
right?
Since October, that the savings they were getting by being able to use offshore production is not there anymore.
Right.
But their own and their own production abilities are there and being underutilized. So now they're going to re-up building in Japan,
right?
Just as an economy measure, which is kind of amazing.
Yeah. Right. Wow.
And I heard Panasonic and Sharp are looking at doing the same thing. So you can imagine it's probably going to be a bit of a flow on if the yen keeps going down.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bit of a flow on to quite a few other companies.
Yeah, right.
Which is, so that's a first.
Mm.
I mean, I'm old enough to have been in this business. I remember when people would come into the store and ask, where was the camera made? And you'd say Japan, and they'd get upset. I said, no, don't you have anything from Germany?
Right.
And, and then it transposed to a whole point. People come in saying, where's that camera made? Oh, not, it's not made in Japan. Do you have anything made in Japan? It's amazing how that shift.
Yeah, right.
The used to be a German was all about the quality.
Yeah.
And the Japanese is all the cheap rubbish.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese became the good stuff and the other outsourced. My philosophy always was that, a robot in Thailand is the same as a robot in Japan. But, I guess there was a quality control issue.
Yeah.
Mind you, look at Nikon with a D750. Have you seen all the latest kerfuffle with that?
No, why? What's the problem?
It's got some sort of flaring banding issue on the sensor.
Oh, okay.
Is this not the third or fourth Nikon in a row they've released with a recall fault?
Yeah, right. Yeah,
I'm sure it happened with the 800. It happened with the 810, definitely. I'm pretty sure it happened with the 800, and it definitely happened with the 600.
Wow.
So at least four of the last five 35mm size sensor cameras have had some major drama.
Has that been a sensor issue or some other part of the body?
Well, it was the shutter, I think, with the 600s.
Right.
There was actually a class action lawsuit brought out in Japan, in America for that.
Right.
Then there was sensor issues with the 800, with the 810, and now with the 750, different ones.
Right.
So,
and are they Sony sensors?
I'd imagine so. They've also said that long ago. But I don't think it's actually so much an issue with the sensor, but the manufacturer of the rest of the componentry.
Right.
How it all sits together.
Yeah,
So I just think there's a little bit of a flaw. Yeah, once again, this rush to get stuff out. Yeah, we've got to have it out for CES. We've got to have it out for this show or whatever, rather than get the thing right first and then get the thing. Yeah.
Wow.
And you look at, and not saying Canon are necessarily any better, because I know their 1DX has certainly had some issues, but you see how many years it took before they replaced the 7D.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was many, many years in development and huge demand to get out a new product. And as we talked about last year, with how their popularity, their search popularity for their cameras had plummeted to almost non-existent levels.
Yep.
Yeah, and so that was a fair indication that you'd think they'd be under pressure to bring it out, but they held off, got it right, and it seems to have not had any problems. So
yeah, right.
Maybe it's not saying this. I'm not saying Canon's any better than Nikon or Sony or anything else. You heard it from me, Bruce. Sony, the other ones.
Yeah,
So that's just a little thing that came across. I saw.
Mm.
And then I saw this interesting article. I don't do landscapes. I'm not a landscape kind of guy. I'd probably like to be able to do them. I'm just crap at them.
Right.
But I saw an article on the unforeground.
Right, which I'm looking at, and I'm just blown away with the first image. But what's it all about?
Since time immemorial, Bruce, every landscape photographer worth their salt who's been taught by somebody else, one of the first things they would have said to these people would be, if you're using a wide-angle lens, make sure you've got foreground interest.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be something you would have been driven into you at some point, I imagine. And this guy's going, nah, not real. It doesn't have to be. How about you leave it blank, and so the eye's drawn up to your subject. You have an unforeground, a foreground that isn't a major draw point for your eyes. So
yeah, see that second image, the Trinity from Peru.
Yes.
I don't know that I agree that it fits with the context of the article, because those
lines
in the sand are kind of foreground interest.
They are a foreground element. I struggle with that one a little bit as well, but I still see his point with...
Yes, it's not great, like a huge rock space. Right up close to the...
And he's not trying to get anything that's really three-dimensional.
No.
You know what I'm saying? It's not like he's got a rock or a tree to give you that out of focus or that give you that perception of depth. I know the lines certainly give you a perception of depth, but there's no third-dimensional objects in the foreground, which is a very common tool, obviously, for the landscape photographer to use. So I just thought it was interesting. And once again, just because he's saying something different, and it's a nice thing for people. You don't have to agree with the guy. You don't have to find it a suit. But if you think about it, stuff settles into your brain, and who knows, at some point something may click and you may get a great image because of it, you know?
Yeah.
So, and that sort of stuff, you know, I'm really on a bent lately of unorthodox.
Whoa, what are you doing there? Yikes.
Just playing.
That was nasty.
Is it bad? Is it? Should I not do it again?
No.
One more time just for fun?
I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, okay. I was just twirling my headphone little thingy, Jackie, where it goes into the computer.
Right. Well, let's not do that.
Reminds me of that Dumb and Dumber movie, is it? Yeah. What's the world's most annoying sound?
Exactly. Oh, dear.
That's about it for me. I mean, I've got a few other bits and pieces, but they're all rubbish.
Yeah. Right.
As opposed to all those. I did see on Petapixel that a company called Picatoo turns your favourite Instagram photos into temporary tattoos, which I've got to say is kind of fun.
Right.
I hate tattoos, but temporary ones are okay.
Right. Yeah, okay. Like I'd want a tattoo of my dog.
No, I want a tattoo of somebody else's dog.
Even better. Dear, oh dear.
Yeah, no, that's about it for me this week.
Right.
This year. No, this week.
This year.
Well, I think I had one semi-useful thing in there, Bruce, and that could be... No one set my sights too high for the year. That could be it.
Fair enough. Now, I got some grief from... Now, was it David...
Adamson or Adam Davidson?
No. David Kembry, is that his name? On Facebook about the Pass the Shutter project?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Bruce.
About the fact that
you've let the team down, my boy.
Apparently I have. If you
let me get the camera in the first place, we'd have sorted this by now.
What was that?
If you let me get the camera in the first place, we'd have sorted this by now.
Yeah, but you didn't. So David Kembry has mentioned to me on the group wall for the Pass the Camera project number one that he managed to find
number one. Pass the Camera number one.
Yeah. You've got to assume that this is going to be massively successful. This will be viral. It will take over the interwebs.
It's going fabulously so far.
Absolutely. Off to a roaring start. So I was setting ourselves up so that should we decide to do it again, we've set a precedent. The first one was number one.
I guarantee the next one will certainly be number two. Right now.
So anyway, David Kembry managed to find a disposable film camera in Coles. Now, I went looking in my local Coles and they didn't have any.
Oh.
So I went to Woolies and they didn't have any.
Safeway?
So anyway, David Kembry said that he would source the camera. He will take the first pick.
Oh, God.
Then he will send the camera to me. I will then put the list together and take my pick and then send the list and the camera off to the next person on the list and we'll be up and running.
Don't you just love the fact that it's fallen into such a madly bad deorganized thing? So I said, oh, stuff it, I'll do it, and I'll organise it for you.
That's right.
Yep.
Got to love our listeners.
Oh, yeah.
They care more than we do.
Why do they keep coming back to us? Maybe they don't. Check the listenership. We may have dropped off.
Dear, oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, that's good. So it's on the way.
So, yes, allegedly it is on the way.
Oh.
One thing I saw.
We should have set a theme.
What?
We should have set a theme for the photo.
Why?
Well, some to include some such. So there's some synergy between the photographs, not just a photo of someone's dog.
I'm pretty sure you were the one who said it could be any subject matter.
And you listened to me?
Well, yeah, it was your idea to do the project.
Have you been on this podcast? If it wasn't for disorganisation, Bruce, I wouldn't have any organisation at all.
Yeah, nice.
We could do a theme. Unless Dave's already taken his shot.
And then we can hassle him because his didn't fit the theme.
What we should do is say, what was your photo of, David? That's going to be the first.
Yeah, there you go.
That's even easier for us. We don't have to be creative that way. Somebody's already done it for us.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I twirled the knobby thing again. Yeah.
Attention dear.
Deficit something or other, Bruce. That's what it is.
What was that?
Got attention deficit something or other.
I've noticed. Of no interest to you at all would be an article I saw in Digital Photography School over the break. 6 portrait lighting patterns every photographer should know.
6? There's 6, is there? Cool, I better go look at it. I thought it was only 3.
Well, the interesting thing is that I only see 4 in the bullet point list. So I'm not sure where the other 2 are.
Spit them out. What are they?
Okay, so actually, let's skip the bullet point list and I'll actually scroll down through the article. So number 1...
Did you send me the link? You didn't send me the link.
Split lighting. Yeah, it's in the stuff I sent you just before we started recording.
Oh, the tiny URL.
Yeah, that's the one.
I didn't click it in case it was spam.
So number 1, split lighting. Number 2, loop lighting. What's loop lighting?
It's lighting through a loop.
You're just making that up. Okay, I haven't read it. Number 3, Rembrandt lighting. Heard of that one. Number 4, butterfly lighting. Know all about that one. Number 5, broad lighting. That's no way to speak of your model. And number 6, short lighting.
Yeah, short and narrow, yeah.
Yeah,
look, frankly, they're all Rembrandt's a variation of broad, so yeah. We can cut that out.
Yep.
That's that
so
one.
So we're down to 5.
Got rid of that one. Yeah. Loop lighting is a variation of broad, but a little bit higher.
Right.
Get rid of that one.
So we're down to 4. Okay.
So it was the first one up the top there. What the heck is a cat's eye? Split. That wasn't it. Split. 50. That's, yeah.
That's just Rembrandt with contrast.
What? I suppose you can call it a lighting. You don't use it. What else do we have? I'm scrolling down. Butterfly, yeah. That's a lighting source. Broad, yeah. Narrow, that's short, yeah.
So we got down to your target of 3.
Yeah, so it's 3 or 4, yeah. But once again, it depends what you want. Realistically, split lighting, where half the face is lit, half the face is darker. It doesn't have to be dark, but darker. It's okay. To me, it's like you haven't committed. You haven't made the commitment to how you want to light the thing, yeah? To really what you want. So you want to use that shadow for shape.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to shape the person's face with that shadow. I want to see all the texture, and that's what the shadow is doing for it. If you're just doing half and half, you're losing the opportunity to use that shadow in an interesting way.
So are you saying that it's just not contrasty enough?
It's not so much the contrast, but it's where is your shadow? Well, it's the entire half of a face,
right?
So therefore, that shadow can't show you. Well, it can show you the shape of a nose because it might be able to see a bump.
Yep.
Yeah, you might be able to see a cleft in the chin or something, but you don't get to see cheek shape as an example because there's no the forehead shape because the shadow itself is split down the middle of your head.
Right.
So those things, those shapes are in shadow or in fully lit.
Right.
If it's fully lit, you don't see any shape, and if it's got all shadow, you don't see the shape.
Right.
So you're losing the advantage of really giving a 3D. It's a very flat image. You're losing the ability to get a 3-dimensional viewpoint and using those shadows to really really showcase a person's how they look.
So given that first image, what would you have done with the model?
Oh, is that the very first one? It'd be scrolling up, scrolling up, scrolling up. Well, it depends. Once again, it depends on what you want to do with the shadow. You can be all the way to the top, all the way to the top.
Yeah.
These finger things. So if you look at the shot, so you can see that you can see a little bit of a nose shape, right?
Yep.
You can see like it's got a little bit of a bump on the end. And you can see that little clefty thing above the lips, that whatever that is.
Yeah, it's got a name. But,
yeah, not, it's not a uvula. That's the thing at the back of your throat, I think. But if you tilt a head just slightly towards the light, so rotate a nose towards the light, okay, think about that shadow is going to move across her face.
So that would be like the shot of her at number two in loop lighting.
Scroll. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. And now you can see there, you see the shape of her cheek. You see how her eyes aren't particularly deeply recessed because the shadow shape around the eyebrow, around onto the cheek, isn't very deep. You can see the depth. It's subtle, but there's depth to the nose now where before there wasn't. The shadow gives you the depth. It also gives you the curvature of the nose. It gives you the depth of the lips.
Yep.
It changes depth by having that shadow. That shadow sculpts her face, even though it's subtle because that's they're using a reflector of some sort to fill that light, or it's a very, very, very big soft diffuse light. But I'm sure they're using a reflector. Even just with that subtle shadow, it still gives you shape. It shows you the person far better, than the top one.
Yep.
The top one, she's very two dimensional.
Yeah,
yeah. It's you can use it, but I said, everything. I reckon when you're photographing a person, because every person's different, because everyone's face shape is different.
Yep.
Okay. So when you're photographing someone, you don't know how to light them. My philosophy is do like the clowns at the fair. You know those little clown things where you put the ping pong ball in.
Yeah.
You get someone to move their head left and right.
Right. And you'll open your mouth and swing your head left and right.
I get the models to do it at the workshops. Jeez, it's funny. It was for me anyway. I always have a great laugh. But you just get someone to do that towards the light source and away from the light source. Don't so much watch the light because you know what the light's doing.
Yeah.
But watch the shadows
watch
doing.
Watch the shadows.
Yeah. Watch the shadow. Watch the shadow play and go, aha.
Yeah. Right.
That's why it's good to do with continuous lighting or to do with natural light rather than flash or studio because you can see the light. And it's a really great learning thing just to get someone to rotate through that, and you'll find, oh, this person lights better from here. This person lights better from here based on how their face shape changes with this shadow play.
Yeah.
The old adage, of course, of photography is to write with light, but it's also to shape with shadows.
Yep.
To me, I don't – if I'm taking someone's photo, that I know the light's going to be good because I wouldn't be taking the photo otherwise. So I really look at light. I look at what the shadows are doing always, and that's
pretty
much all I pay attention to is shadow.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Hmm. Nice.
Maybe that makes sense to some.
Yeah.
If not, come back next week for more garbage.
And the other link that I had,
came
across this a week and a half ago. This couple bought this old run-down mansion in France. And it was that was actually Sue Bryce who posted this. I saw it on her Facebook feed. And as Sue Bryce said, it's like every single room in this rundown mansion is just begging for a photo shoot. It is just amazing. And obviously the couple who have bought it are seriously well-heeled. And they've brought in renovators, specialists in, stucco coatings on walls and all the specialists, and they're restoring this entire mansion to its former glory, and they're writing an entire blog about the process. The link will be in the show notes. Go and check it out. You just look at this building and you will just fall in love with it immediately.
The problem is just lack of the whole thing as it is now.
Yes.
Don't fix it up.
Yes.
Just preserve it in
absolutely.
That condition. Don't make the thing look pretty and nice. I don't want photographers like run down crap, not that nice stuff.
That's it. And the way it looks now, it's just begging for a photo shoot.
Man, it's awesome, isn't it? It's just fabulous.
The thing that makes it so amazing is when you see some of the photos of the textures on the wall, and you can see there's like three and four layers of previous artworks that date back hundreds of years. And it's
an amazing stuff.
Wow.
Very cool.
Isn't it? And just the shapes of the, you know, the arches inside and the staircases and just
some of the painting on the on the, oh, on the boards and stuff is just
it's just gorgeous and
they're gonna wreck it. They're gonna make it all pretty.
If we have any well-heeled listeners, can they just leave Glyn and I a donation in their will?
Buy them out for us and send us over there.
Yeah.
We'll give you a free podcast for life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Not ours. We'll find one that actually went for life. Yeah.
Oh, just love it.
Yeah. Fabulous stuff. Look, and looking at the stuff they found at flea market finds. It's just,
yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I'd be a very poor man if I lived over there. I'd become a hoarder. I'd be a hoarder.
You would, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I'd be just buying props left, right, and center.
Yeah.
Good find, dude. Well done.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Very cool. What a great way to finish the show.
Absolutely.
Like aspirational, inspirational.
Yep.
Good stuff.
All right, mate. Well, good to be back.
But it is. And having said that, let me say this.
Well said. All right, well, you have a good week.
Said all night, my friend. Smartest thing.
There you go, brain. Smartest thing you're ever going to say, and nobody heard it.
All right. And I've missed our weekly chats. And I hope to see you next week.
Absolutely.
Doodle bop.
See you, mate.
Bye, everybody.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.